You're listening to Called to Homeschool with Karn and Meg, episode number 7. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Welcome back to Call to Homeschool. This is episode number 7. We're so excited to be back.
It is so fun.
Yes.
We're going to read. Oh, sorry.
I'll do that first.
Yes. You're right. Karn's going to read another awesome review. So if you haven't left us a review, why not? Get on there, subscribe, and go leave us a review. And then you might be our lucky mama who is featured. So today.
We all want that, right?
We do. We all do. Every
Today's
one of us.
Today's review is from Just Marcos and Drew's mom. And she says, I'm so happy that this podcast is finally out. The first episode captures my attention in the first minute. I have always questioned if my reasoning for being a homeschool family made sense. And hearing these two awesome moms tell their why reflected so many of my whys. I loved it. Can't wait for the next episode. We hope we haven't disappointed in the next episode.
Yes. So, and thank you so much for your nice review. So yes. If you haven't left your review, go pause this and go leave one and you right might now. Get a shout out.
We'd love it.
Okay. This is a really fun episode topic of getting off the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
What in the world does that mean? If you had to sum that up in like a 30 second, like what in the world does that mean? Like, what would you say?
So are you asking me to do it?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I think of a conveyor belt as like a factory, right? So if I'm on a factory, I'm doing everything in a routine way, really fast, get it done as fast as I can do so I can do as many as possible. So getting off the conveyor belt for education terms for me would be getting off of that fast routine, stuff all the information in your brain way of educating just so you can get as many through as possible and just get it done.
Right. And just kind of check it off your list.
Check it off.
Right. Yeah. Like I read to you, check. Right? Yes. You passed a test. Check. Now you can forget everything. Right? Yeah. Anybody else guilty of that in school of just passing a test and then?
I got really good at learning how to take tests in school. I was a pretty good test taker. But yes, as soon as the test was over, it was like, okay, unload that and start on this next set of information. I don't need to know that anymore. And because of that, I don't think I really learned as much as I really could have if I learned for the purpose of wanting to learn the cool information I was being handed. So it's just a different type of thinking and a different mind shift right there for what education is really about.
Yes. Like what is education? Is education just a piece of paper for you to hang up? Like, aren't I impressive? This is what I have. And I'm not dissing a degree. Please don't think that. They're awesome. But I'm just saying, is that your goal? Or is your goal to, my goal with my own children is to instill a love of learning.
Yes.
And so that it is a lifelong journey, that learning doesn't end after high school or doesn't end after college. Like, all right, I've learned everything there is to learn and now I can turn off my brain. So for me, it's really to create a culture of always want to be learning and growing.
And your kids can understand the importance of a good education versus the importance of getting an A.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely. So let's talk about school a little bit. Does anybody remember how uncomfortable the chairs are in school?
Those hard chairs. So funny story. When we first started doing homeschool, I went and bought some of those old antique desks
with flip open tops
because I thought they were so cute and it would be perfect for our schoolroom. And I set up our cute little schoolroom with our desks and the kids put their stuff inside the desk. And then they never sat on them ever. They sat on the floor or they sat on the couch or they sat in their room or in the backyard. They never used the desks and they took up so much space. And finally, I was just like, all right, these are out because they're pointless.
Oh, that's funny. Yes. A lot of times when people start homeschooling, they try to create school at home. And it doesn't have to look the same because I'm only homeschooling 6 kids, not 30 children, right? And so it can look very, very different.
Those 6 kids are all at different levels. So it's not going to be the same as it would be in a classroom.
Oh, no, anyway. No, it's not. It's very individualized. Mm-hmm. And so you can do school in the morning, you could do school in the afternoon, or even in the evening. School doesn't have to be the same 9 to 3. I don't know what time they do school, to be honest.
Depends what track you're on.
Okay. And then like Karen was saying, where her kids do school all over the house. Mine love to do it in a chair. In the winter, we do it. A lot of them do school with a space heater and a blanket and hot cocoa.
We have a little fireplace they like to gather around at our house.
That's
in the
cute.
Winter.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the summer, mine do it on my pretend deck. It's just a shed, but they go out there and they lay out while they do their math, or they do it in their beds.
We have a hammock tree house that my daughter loves to read in while she does her school.
Yep. That's fun.
And this week, because the weather just got really nice, so we're loving it. We set out, we have this big blanket that we laid out in our backyard, and we all went out there and sat outside to do our school together and our read alouds, and it just makes it really nice.
It is really fun. And I love about it too, of actually just, I guess it's not even, you really calling learning at home instead of homeschool, right? Mm-hmm. It's just learning at home, is that my kids can take breaks. And what I love about that is that they're learning to manage their own time. Because sometimes when you're like, okay, you're going to do this at 9 and this at 9:15 and this at 9:30, then you're not learning to manage your time. You're learning to how to just obey somebody's orders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we just have the rule in my home, and you can create whatever you guys want, but my kids have to have school done by dinner.
Yeah.
And so they can do it however they want. So the other day, my Joshie, he got up, I don't even know how early, and he got his schoolwork done by 11 a.m. because he had some plans to go fishing in the afternoon, or he wanted to go do something and made plans with a buddy to get together. And then some days we're pulling teeth and it gets done at 4:59.
Yeah, that's about the same with us too. If they have something that really motivates them to finish early, they're just right on top of it. But then there's other days that we crawl through it. But if you think about the public system, public school system, there's a lot of force involved there where the kids are, you know, there's strict deadlines and strict rules and bells and times that they have to do each subject and the grades that are not very forgiving. So, and also as well as that, a lot of philosophies are taught there that you don't necessarily want taught to your kids, but they have to teach them because it's what's in the curriculum and they're required to teach these certain set of standards. And then if they don't meet those standards or their kids don't test well enough, then they don't get the funding that they need for their school. And so it's really all about this cycle of like getting it done so that you can get the funding.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about homeschooling is you don't have to worry about any of those things. You don't have any of those rules and any of those deadlines, and you get to just do it your own way. You have the freedom and you have the power to set it up the way you want to and what works best for you and your family. So when you're teaching your kids, if you have one child that is super passionate about horses and one child that's super passionate about guitars, they can learn two different things, and that's completely okay. They don't have to even be learning the exact same thing as they go through, and it can be really beautiful. And if you have one kid who is like math brilliant, like your little guy, he's so good. He's like grades ahead of where he's supposed to be. He's amazing. And then one kid who's slow at math. So
I have one of those too.
Can work at their slow pace, and the fast one can skip lessons to get ahead to where he feels like it's his level.
Or it's just like a challenge for him.
Yeah, so it's a challenge. Both of those work, and both of those are okay and acceptable.
And then along the lines with passion is that, and as my older kids are really discovering what they love and what speaks to their soul, they have time for their passion.
Yes.
And so if you've been following me on Instagram, we've been at Battle of the Bands all week and we're going again. We're recording this way sooner than this is posted, but tonight that I'm recording it, another Battle of the Bands, but he's able to go and perform and be in multiple bands and play guitar and teach guitar lessons, everything music, because he has the time to do so.
And I have a son who's really passionate about animals, and he has been since he was a little boy. He's 14 now. But almost every year for science, we did different types of animal study. And he's doing biology this year and is just loving it and is learning so much in this high school biology course. And it's just been amazing. And I can see him in the future doing something, you know, as a doctor or as an animal scientist, or botanist, biology, you know, whatever. I can see him in those fields so easily because we've been able to just dig in deep to that passion that he loves.
Yes, and he told me the other day at our co-op that he just went on a big hike.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes, Karen literally lives on the mountain.
I do.
It's awesome. And so her oldest boy will just head up the mountain and mm-hmm. go on a hike.
And he went on all the way to the very, very, very top.
So he told me.
Behind our house, and he called me from the top of the mountain and was waving. And there was a white cloud right behind, so I could see his little stick figure waving, and it was the coolest thing. But he loves hiking so much, and he can do that, and that's good physical exercise. But it's also, you know, he's studying. While he's up there, he's looking at the plants, and he's watching for animal tracks, and he's doing things like that that he loves while he's out there.
Yes, nature really speaks to a lot of people's soul, I believe. Mm-hmm. I know it does for me, just being outside. I think along with that, getting off the conveyor belt, sorry, I said conveyor, that sounded cool. But learning doesn't just have to happen from a book.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, her son is going hiking and he's seeing all these things with animals, my son with guitar. And it's funny, he's actually learning a lot about finances because he wants to do a lot. He has a lot of big dreams. He's touring Europe and he's had to pay for it. So he's had to learn all these skills, but he's learning it because he wants to learn it. Mm-hmm. I haven't given him a book and said, hey, you need to learn how to budget and do all these things. He came to us and said, hey, how in the world do I pay for this? What do I need to do? And then was very willing to learn it. And now he's been able to apply it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And we have a good friend. Her kids are also musicians. They're pianists. And her kids will practice piano for 4 hours a day. And her little boy, he's eight.
He is eight.
He is performing this weekend as a solo pianist with the Utah Philharmonic Orchestra.
And he's amazing.
He is incredible. And they've been able to just really delve in and study their passion of music and be incredible at that. And you can see he's going to go far with that skill and talent he's developed.
It was awesome. They came and practice played for us. Mm-hmm. And he was so fast. And his mom was hilarious. She goes, you are not supposed to play that fast. Like, that wasn't the tempo. And he's like, but wasn't it awesome? Did you see how fast my fingers went? I was like, oh my goodness. I was impressed, but I'm not a concert pianist.
It's impressive, this little kid watching him go. But that's one of the beautiful things is that your child is going to have his or her own passions, and you can have time to study those things and not worry about not keeping up with the standards that you're supposed to meet for that school year.
Or testing on it too. As I think about, so my little eight-year-old, he loves his favorite. We do science. He and I do science together on Wednesdays. And he is obsessed with the Gail Gibbons books.
Oh yeah.
So make sure you put a link with those because we have almost all of them
now. We have tons of those too.
And one of the books, so he always picks a new animal or a new topic. And his favorite one is penguins. And then we go to the aquarium and he just leans against the glass, obsessed with these penguins.
Oh,
so even though he did learn some of the stuff about penguins from a book, he then gets to go experience, obviously not in the Arctic. And he'll even tell you, did you know no penguin lives above the Southern Hemisphere? The furthest north is the Galapagos Islands. So like he knows a lot about penguins because he is so into them, and we've been able to go to the aquarium and experience it and see them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much real life learning that can happen when you're homeschooling and you take your kids out of the house to learn. We don't all just sit in our houses all day long and not see people. We go out and we adventure and we explore and we learn through nature and through museums and through real life experiences.
Yes. And this last year, our Christmas trip, and I've talked about this before, but we do Christmas trips instead of mm-hmm. presents. And this year we went to the Redwoods. And what was so fun about it is that in science years ago, we learned about the biggest trees in the world, and they're the Redwoods. And so we have talked about them, we have looked at pictures of them, and then we got to go experience them. And some of the pictures I have of my children just gazing at these monsters, I mean, they're beautiful. The forest there is absolutely breathtaking. Like, pictures don't do it justice. Mm-hmm. And it was so neat to see something that they've read and studied actually got to be a part of it and in it. And
yeah.
But to be honest, they mostly wanted to see the forest moon of Endor. If you're a Star Wars fan,
yeah.
We were there too, but that was really fun for them.
Yeah. That's neat.
Okay. So yeah, there's a really great story. So I'm a dancer. So that's why I was teasing Karen about dancing, because she's a singer and I can't carry a tune. But the choreographer for Cats, the musical Cats, have you ever seen that?
I have, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I saw that one too, and it was amazing. Her name is Jillian Lynn. And she, when she went to school, she was underperforming. And they said she just cannot hold still. She cannot sit down and hold still. She wasn't doing very good. And so her mother was just like, what do I do with this child? Took her to a doctor. And the doctor said, hey, mom, let me talk to you privately outside. But before he left, he turned on the music. And as he turned on the music, this little girl just lit up and she just moved and swayed and danced. And he said, this girl needs to move and she needs to dance. Put her in dance class as soon as possible.
So cool.
And her awards, her, the things that she was able to accomplish with dance. I mean, if, even if you've seen the choreography of Cats, it's amazing. And that's just one of the many things that she was able to do. And so I have some, I mean, I've talked about that I like being active and I don't like sitting still. So obviously I have children that also don't like sitting still, especially my 8-year-old.
My 8-year-old boy, our little boys are a lot alike in that way.
Yes. But I run mine like a puppy that I go take him out and we go on a run and keep him active instead of just saying, you need to sit here. Well, yes.
I send mine out to climb trees.
Well, I was going to say, yes, something. And then a lot of times during the middle of the day, if he gets too antsy, I will suggest for the boys to go out and play basketball or go out and play football.
Yeah.
Do you want to go on a bike ride? Do you want to do something?
Yeah. My boys like to do that a lot too. And it's so good for them. It's also, you know, mentally it's good for them to take those breaks and to be physically active. It's good for them.
Yes. I read a Facebook post the other day in a homeschool group and her comment was, I need my 6-year-old to hold still. You don't.
Mm-mm.
You don't. You want them to, like in an ideal world, wouldn't it be great if her kids just sat there and listen to everything I had to say?
And they never will.
They never will.
I can't even do that.
No, because we had humans, not robots, right? And humans don't want to just sit there, especially a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old. The younger they are, the wigglier they are.
Yeah. So I, for my same little boy, my little 8-year-old, when we do spelling lessons, we'll often do something really active for his spelling, like bouncing a ball back and forth or doing a hopscotch or, you know, something like that, because it helps him to process the words better and to learn them better. You could even like jump on the trampoline as you spell the word. And those are great things for the really active kids to just keep them going.
Yes. When we learned his alphabet, I had a cute rug I got from Costco. And we would jump on each letter as we would say the sounds. So like a, b, cuss. And then he could do it because he was moving and not just sitting there, right?
I have a little alphabet mat too. I should pull it out.
It's fine.
5-year-old.
My dog ruined mine, so I need to get a new one.
The dog ruined everything.
It's true. I'm not a dog person, but you can still love me anyway.
So one more point that I just want to bring up with getting off the conveyor belt. In the public school system, kids are treated all the same. I mean, they all have these same standards that they have to be kept to, and they all have the same things that they're taught at the same level, despite them being vastly different. Different levels, different interests, different abilities, but they're all expected to check off these same things. And the beauty about homeschooling is you're able to tailor the education to each individual child, but also the fact that they can follow their interests while they're learning gives their interests value to them and makes them feel like the things they care about matter and are important to them. And I think that's so important as a parent and as a teacher to be able to do that for your kids, because then they grow up feeling of worth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. So I hope you guys have a little bit more confidence. I think I'm saying that at the end, but I think that's really this podcast's purpose.
Yeah.
Is you're feeling this call to homeschool and you're in fear and you don't feel confident. And so here we are, two awesome veteran homeschool mamas, just saying it's okay. You guys have got this. It doesn't have to be school at home. It can be learning at home. It can be experiencing at home.
Exploring outside.
Yes. Cooking. That's school, right? Exploring, going to the museum, going to the park. All those things are school. And so don't be afraid to, if your school looks different than what the neighbor kids are doing in public school.
Yeah. It's actually a good thing if it's a little different.
Yes.
But know that you've got this and it's okay.
All right. We will talk to you guys in the next episode. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.